Okay, Parakhas Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk begins, Bo'esahinim Hashem, this is really a continuation of the previous Parak, describing what's going to happen to the people who worship Moloch. The value, it's on.
Oh, no, I think that's
not true, I turned it off. No, it's on. I'll just make it a little louder. Okay, so, it's good. Okay, so this parak is continuing the theme of yesterday, of parak Zion, where we learned that what's going to happen to people who worship, who offer children as human sacrifices to Moloch. So we learned that this valley will no longer be called Toifes, it will no longer be called Gay Hinom, but it will be renamed as the Gay Hahariga, the Valley of Death, the Valley of Murder, because the sinners. The people who have sinned, they will suffer their fate. Where they'll be buried, and the burial there will be so much death that will occur in this valley. There will not be enough room for the dead to be buried, and they'll have no choice but to let the bodies lay exposed to the birds and the wild animals, and they will be consumed. Now this goes further and says, "Bo'etzahi paskalaf no mashem ba'yotziu." It's worse. It's going to be worse than that. It's not just going to be that it's going to be bodies that are exposed because there's no room. Even the bodies that are buried beneath the ground will be removed and will be exposed. Bo'esahi, Nu'um Hashem, so says Hashem, Yotziu es atzmos, Malchi Yehudavi es atzmos, Sarov, they will exhume. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Exhume the bones of the Malchi Yehuda, the kings of Yehuda, Vies atzmos, the bones, Sarov, the princes, Vies atzmos, Kohanim. Now this of course refers to the Kohanim that were corrupt. The Es Atzmos, the bones, Hanevim of the corrupt, the false prophets. The Es Atzmos, Yoshua Yushalayim, Bikirahem. Their bones will be removed from the ground. Not only will they suffer in their lifetime, they will suffer in their death. Ushechotum, what will be done with their bones? They will be spread out. This word is in this week's parasha. Vayishtechu lohem shatoach. The slav came down, and the slav was spread out along the earth at a distance of a one day's journey in all directions. So she'ushechotun.
I think it's an area, like a
open area.
Yeah, like a
shetach, an open
measure area.
Open area. So it's going to be spread out. It's going to be exposed lashemesh. In front of the sun, v'la yoreach u'luchol tzva hashemayim. Why? What is the midah, connected midah, that their bones, their dead bodies, the corpses will be exposed? The sun, the moon, and the tzva hashemayim. So the pasuk says, because asher ahivum, because these are the objects which the people loved. They love them so much. They offered sacrifices. They worshiped them. Asher ahivum, v'asher avodum. They love them. And they worship them. V'asher holchu acharehem, v'asher dirashum. They would seek out their benefit. V'asher hishtachbu lohem, and they bow down. Many of these very fascinating, so many different expressions describing the intensity that Klal Yisrael had towards the heavenly bodies. They love them. They worship them. They follow them. They sought them out. It sounds like almost like today. Today we're more obsessed with what's going on in Mars than we are what's going on in this world. What? I'm sorry?
What
pasuk? Perikhes pasuk, a middle pasuk bays. Perikhes pasuk bays. You know, like today we're more obsessed with what's going on in outer space. We want to go, what's going on in Mars. We love them. We worship them. We follow them around. We're always looking where they are. We seek them out. We're trying to send man to Mars.
It's more. Obviously, they thought that their destinies were controlled by.
Of course. I'm just joking around. They bow down to them. They're more important. It's almost more important to bow down to them. Then what's going on in this world? The pasuk goes on to say that these sinners, they will not, their bones will not be gathered into the earth. They will not be buried, but instead, ledoymen as a pile of garbage. It will be like a pile of garbage. Al pnei ha'adama yihyu. That's what will become of these people. Their bodies, their bones will be exhumed, and they will lie out in this open area, and it will be a very big disgrace. Pasuk Gimel, v'nivchar moves mechayim. People would choose death over life. The situation, the simple understanding of the pasuk is that the situation of the situation on the ground is so severe. Life, if things are so bad, it would be better to be dead than to be alive. L'chol hasheris hanisharim, in regard to all of the remnants, all of the survivors, min hamishpacha haro hazos, from this evil family. Now, who is the evil family? It's very interesting that we're calling Klal Yisrael a mishpacha. B'chol hamakaymos hanisharim, all of the places where they remain. Asher hidachtim sham, where they have been pushed, where they have been dispersed. Nu'um Hashem tzivakoy, so says Hashem tzivakos. Okay, there are many things to discuss. One thing, let's go backwards. First thing I want to point out is over here we have something very unique in this pasuk Gimel, in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing Klal Yisrael as a mishpacha. Now that maybe would seem at first glance positive. It's as if Hashem is giving everyone a subscription to a popular magazine. No, I'm just joking. But what it means over here is, Klal Yisrael is not a mishpacha. They're a nation. The word mishpacha is used often in Tanakh in reference to the umos ha'olam, nations of the world. In order to be called a nation, you have to have some mission, some purpose. If you don't have a purpose, you're not called a nation. Now, of course, there are 70 nations in the world. Unfortunately, their purpose is not necessarily good. I don't have the psukim in front of me now, but there's an idea, I think it's in Yeshai, that l'osid lavo, the nations of the world will no longer be called nations. They'll be called mishpachas, families. Because the only reason why today they're a nation is because they're familiar with this medrash. See, you've heard this before, right? There's a medrash. You've heard this medrash?
I'm getting the idea that not so much a purpose, but an identity.
What is their identity?
So you want to envision a world like a utopian world where their nationality no longer...
is important. Why doesn't that relevance? Because today, what is the relevance of a nation today? They have an agenda. Their agenda is wealth. Their agenda is to satisfy power, to satisfy their desires. They come together to achieve a goal. They have a goal. When Mashiach will come, they will realize the goal that they have pursued their entire existence and history was nonsense. It was not a worthy goal to achieve power, to satisfy their desire for of type of good food, cuisine, or love. All of the different things. Every nation today has a unique character, and that character is what?
Well, folk character. It's a German word.
So that unites them as a nation. But when this lie is shattered, no longer do they have a purpose, and they are reduced from being called a nation to be called a mishpacha, and that is why you will find that in some sukkah, I think especially in Yeshaya, elsewhere as well, we find that when Mashiach will come, the nations are going to be called mishpachos, just groups of families. But Klal Yisrael will always be called a nation, because Klal Yisrael are united in a purpose of serving Hashem, a purpose that will never fade, will never go away, will never dissipate, and therefore they deserve the term, the title, and the Am Hashem, the Am HaNivcha. Here, Hashem is insulting Klal Yisrael. We have many different layers of insult and rejection. And in this pasuk, we have another layer of rejection. We HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael, "You're just a family.
You're being demoted
to what the Umos Sa'olam will be demoted to. They'll be demoted at the end of days." But you, Klal Yisrael, right here and now, the morning I'm calling you Hanish Arim Min Hamishpacha Horo'ah Hazos. Like we learned yesterday, it was 2 days ago, that Kiloik, and we had a pasuk before that said that Hashem says, you're not a nation. This ze hagoy asher loy shamu b'kol Hashem elokav v'lelochu musar. We had the one where Farshman says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, yeah, I'm rejecting you. You're just a nation. You're not my nation. Here we're going a step further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing from Klal Yisrael the title of a nation, reducing us to a mishpacha. And again, this theme is something that we do find in reference to the Umos Olam. They will be reduced to mishpachos at the end of days when their role comes to an end. Unfortunately, here we were not serving Kadosh Baruch and worshiping idols. Our role as a nation has been reduced to nothing more than a mishpacha. Okay, that's one. Yeah.
There is a term, although it's a misnomer, family of nations.
A family. Okay, that's okay. That's being used differently.
Supposedly, the family of nations, but it's a misnomer.
That's a more. That's used in the positive sense. Like, you always hear certain. Every time you go to a dinner of an, or you go to an a dinner of a yeshiva or some organization, they always like to say, "Oh, we're one big happy family." This is not a yeshiva. It's a mishpacha. Right, you've heard that by every organization. And this is universal. That's how it feels good to say that. That's true. That's the way we use the word. But the way it's used in Tanakh, it's negative. To call a nation a mishpacha, you are downgrading their status of a player in this world to just a couple of families who get together who have no major significance. They're not important. They're not players in the world. And that is something which we will see. And it will be true when Mashiach comes in reference to the Umos Olam. Klal Yisrael will never be called a Mishpacha. We are called a nation. We are a nation. A nation has a connotation of something significant, something, a group that has a goal, a mission, a purpose. But here Hashem is insulting Klal Yisrael and is saying, you're all going to suffer. You're all going to suffer. You're going to choose death over life. L'chol hasheris hanisharim min hamishpacha hara'a hazos. This is the ultimate insult that Hashem can give Klal Yisrael to reduce us from a nation to nothing more than a collection of or a family. Okay, now there's another idea. This is just before we read the Mefarshim, just the Dara Pashut Ad Ma'od, is that the klolos that I mentioned over here in Yirmiyah unfortunately have been fulfilled throughout history, where Jewish burial sites have been completely destroyed, completely regarded as if they don't exist. And parking lots, museums, and you name it, have been built upon areas, locations where once upon a time there used to be beautiful, very significant cemeteries, which were the resting place for the Gedolei Yisrael all over the world. Even, I mean, I never gone there, but on Temple Mount, when they give tours, you probably see this on YouTube, they show that some of the stones. Some of the stones that are used on Temple Mount were taken from Atzevos. They, I think, more specifically, they show that they were mezuzos. They took from Jewish homes. They took. You could see where the mezuzah used to be, and it's all lying on the floor. But okay, it's a fact that you do know that in Poland and throughout the world, Jewish cemeteries have been disgraced and
desecrated,
and the tombstones have been used for building materials elsewhere. And that's really exactly what it says over here. It says over here is that do you think it's over when finally after you finish suffering, you die and you're in the ground, you have menucha. There's no menucha. They're going to come to take you out of your graves, desecrate the cemetery, and do all of these horrible things. Okay, let's see the Mefarshim. Let's start with Pasuk Aleph in the Metzudos David. Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says, Yoitziu, they will extract, exhum, Ho'evim haboim yoitziu mikivrehem levazosam. Ha'koyhanim, koyhani haba. When it says here koyhanim, we're now referring to the tzaddikim, we're referring to the rishoyim, and they will be disgraced, desecrated when the enemy arrives and takes them out of their graves. Ha'neviim, Neviye Hashaker, Yoshve Yerushalayim, Miyeser Ha'am, these three groups will be desecrated. Ushechatum, they will spread out their bodies along the face of the earth. Viyif Rishu Oysam, V'yifashu asam mul hashemesh leva zoysam to disgrace them. Asher ahavum because what is the midah k'neged midah? Why will you be exposed to the sun, to the moon, to the stars? Midah k'neged midah, being that you worship these entities, so it's only fitting that your bodies, your dead bodies, should be exposed to these entities. Vasher kofel hadavar bimilim shaynois lehasmodas hadavar, in order to intensify the matter. Lo ye osfu, lo yachni sum elakever, they will not be gathered into the grave. Velo ye karvu, kofel hadavar bimilim shaynois ledaymen, will be a dump, a garbage dump. Yiriyu munachim al pnei hadama daymen ledaymen, they will remain on the face of the earth, similar to a pile of garbage. Pasuk gimel in the Mitzudos. V'nivchar maves mechayim hanisharim in hamisa haholchem begoyla. The survivors will have preferred to have died than to live with the life that they have. Yiyu b'tzara gedoyla ad sheyivcharu hamisa, they would prefer to die. Unfortunately, we read stories about this in reference to the Holocaust. The survivors had a very difficult time. The memories haunt them, and this incredible guilt, why did they survive and not their other family members? And that guilt and that horror remains with them for the rest of their lives. Hamishpacha hara'a asher avdu labal, families that worship the Baal. B'chol ha'mechavos hanesharim hu hipuch. You have to reverse the words. You have to translate the words as if the word hanishorim appears in the beginning of the pasuk. Kimo hanishorim, the survivors, b'chol hamakomos asher hidachtim sham begola, the survivors, they will choose death over life. The survivors in all of the locations where they find themselves being pushed, they will choose death over life. Okay, let's now see Rashi, Pasuk Beis, Ushechotum Lashemesh. Now here Rashi is drawing something important from the Medrash. The Medrash has a discussion, long discussion about Nebuchadnezzar's decision to launch an attack upon Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to conquer the world. But from the Medrash it's mashma, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, Yerushalayim was not his primary target. His primary target was the nation of Ammon. He was mobilizing his troops, his army, in order to conquer a different nation, the nation of Ammon. And then, through a series of simonim, or I don't remember the details, he was advised, why bother attacking Ammon? Why don't you instead direct your forces to attack Yerushalayim? And there's a dialogue, and he says, I'm not going to be successful, because this nation has a very powerful God, and I'm afraid it will happen to me like what happened to Sancheirev. He and his army were defeated, and the Malach, or the various advisors, kept on telling him, no, don't worry, you will succeed. Then came one last sticking point, and he said, it's not a good time of the year to attack Yerushalayim, it's winter time. And in the winter, when I begin to launch my siege against Yerushalayim, it's too cold. Where am I going to station my troops during the winter? So they said to him, you need not worry. On the outskirts of Yerushalayim are the most luxurious mausoleums, the most luxurious burial caves, and like mausoleums, caves and crypts. No problem. It's like a 5-star hotel. And they said to him in the Medrash that a Jewish burial site is more elegant, has more time and more amenities than a 5-star hotel anywhere in the world. You think the Waldorf Astoria is nice in the New York City? You ain't seen nothing. You have to go to Israel and see what a mausoleum looks like. They have Wi-Fi, they have hot water, they have marble marble showers. They have the best food for the vineyard. You go to Rashbi, they give you food. They have good food. They have tents. They have food. They have everything you could possibly want when you go to a Jewish burial site. So indeed, that's exactly what he did. That was one of the last things that convinced him that he can go. He went to Yerushalayim, and what they did was they occupied these burial crypts, and they removed the dead. They took out all of the bodies, they threw it in the street, and they used these structures that were built for the dead as a dormitory, as a place to house to host the army of the Nebuchadnezzar. And that's exactly what Rashi was saying.
Asar B'Tavis in the wintertime?
Asar B'Tavis was when the siege began. So in Echonami, it's right smack in the winter. You're right. Echonami, so it fits very well with what it says in the Medrash. And that's really exactly what Rashi was saying. Rashi was explaining here these people, they're going to take the dead out of the burial crypts. Ushechatum Lashamesh, the Hakastim. Yishkinu Lotzor, the custom, which are the Babylonians, led by Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, they will dwell, they will set up shop, Lotzor, to besiege Al-Hu'ir, Bekivrei, in the crypts, in the burial spots of Hasarim, Shehoyu Noim Kipaltin. Because these burial crypts were more luxurious, were more beautiful than the most beautiful palaces that existed in the land of Babel. Next word of Rashi, Ludemim, Zevel, Dom means a garbage dump. They will take the bodies of the kings and the princes and the other people, and they will pile them up like garbage in the street. Pasuk Gimel, V'nivchar Maves Michayim, they will choose death over life. Afal pi shehoy shehem royim es hamesim nisunim dibizayon, tsaras hachayim gedoyla himena. Even though the living see the dead piled in disgrace in the street, the pain of living is greater than observing the disgrace of those who suffer death. The yivcharu es hamoves, people will choose death over life. Now, before we go further, the truth is a very interesting medrash. The medrash says the medrash says the opposite of what it says in the derech pshat, and it says v'yivcharu. The Medrash seems to say is that even if it's true that a person would prefer to die than to live and suffer, the word v'yivcharu is not the correct word to express this idea. The Medrash doesn't give a choice of words, and the truth is the Medrash really is subject to interpretation. It's not exactly clear, but the gist of what it seems to say is it's true. Life is miserable. People would rather die and not live and suffer. But this is not the right word. You don't use the word v'yivcharu. You use, I don't know, you have to be a little bit creative to come up with another word. The word v'yivcharu has a certain connotation that it's something that is truly good. And what does it mean it's truly good is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, there's always a silver lining. There's always a degree of nechama in klala in toichacha, and that is that the fact that the people will suffer, their bodies will be disgraced after death, will serve as an atonement for their sins. And this is a gemara mefureshas. The gemara often says that if a person does not receive the proper honor at his funeral, this is a very good sign. If a person was not eulogized as what he deserves, the gemara gives the example if it rains at his funeral. So when it rains, it's very unpleasant. It's very unpleasant that it ruined the funeral. This indeed is a good sign for the niftar that he did not get kavod in his death, and that itself serves as an atonement for any sin that he committed in his lifetime. So here the Medrash takes this pasuk and it twists it all the way, it twists it the opposite direction. You read the pasuk at face value, it means, like we mentioned, we said, is that life was miserable and people would prefer to die than to live. The Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is doing something. He's selecting Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is selecting a disgraceful death for these people, and the word V'yivcharu is a positive, in the spiritual world, is a positive expression. Hashem is doing a very great favor for these people. He's disgracing their bodies, desecrating their bodies, so that it will serve for them as an atonement for the sins they committed in this generation, so their neshama can have some menucha in the next world. So everything you can look at, you can always twist, you can always see another sign, another interpretation. Okay, let's see the Radak. Pasuk Aleph,
what is Ahi Vayutz? The trigger might be because the Nivchar is in the singular and everything else
is in plural. So you want to say Hashem is selecting. It's Hashem who's making the selection. Instead of the individuals, instead of the people making the selection. That requires how the Medrash is able to go and take the pshat and twist it the opposite. So you're giving a very good idea. It's singular instead of plural. Hashem is making the selection, not the people, because Hashem wants to bring atonement for these neshamos so they can have menucha in the next world. But let's see the Radak. Pasuk Aleph, Bo'isahi Vayotziu Ksif. It says the Krivach Sif Vayotziu Ukri Yotziu. We don't read the Vav. The Vav is omitted. V'inyan Karov, it's the same idea. It doesn't really make a difference. The Krivach Sif Biki Perish Vayotziu. It means Sheyotziu, that they will take out. Lo Sheyotzu Me'atzim. It does not mean that the bones will come out of the ground by itself. Rather, it means it's going to be human intervention. The enemy will dig up the dead bodies. Here, the Radak is making a very interesting point that we know that a lot of what it says in the Yirmiyah is repeated. There is repetition from what it says in Sefer Yirmiyah to what it says in Sefer Melachim. At the end of Sefer Melachim, there is a detailed account of the Churban, and there is also in Divrei Hayamim, we learned that one point in time, there's also an account, there's also a record of exactly what happened. And when you start analyzing the psukim, the difference, you get a different record. You get a different perspective, whether it's from Yirmiyah, or it's from whoever wrote Sefer Melachim. And he makes this point that there it does not make mention that the bodies of the kings and the Sarim and the Kohanei Sheker and the Nevi'ei Sheker does not make mention that their bodies were exhumed. And that's what it's over here, they were desecrated. Doesn't say that they're in Sefer Melachim. Ela hanavi sheniba aleihem sheyeh kach v'hoyeh kach. The af al pish loy tzibur hakosov. So here we require a degree of faith, the Radak says. Because what took place in Sefer Yirmiyah, at least in these psukim, we're going to have an account later on as well, but at least when Yirmiyah is speaking over here, he is predicting what will happen. But when we have the record of what indeed did happen in Sefer Melachim, it does not say that this came to be. So the Radak says, just because we don't find it recorded that it happened, does not mean that it did not happen. And in fact, we have to have faith that if the Navi says it will happen, indeed it did happen, and not everything is recorded.
In the passage, by saying that it's the Nevi'ei HaSheker and the seems that they were already established Dairus and Yerushalayim.
Of course.
Their own mausoleums.
Okay, I say it wasn't just the last
couple of generations.
In fact, they had such elaborate cemeteries, it must mean they've been around quite a long time. Absolutely, yeah. 420 years. There was a lot of corruption over 420 years. Yeah.
Now, another thing is that someone did a doctorate. He mapped all the kvarim around Yerushalayim. And you didn't have kvarim in the city because of the...
You're not allowed to. Right.
So you saw the tekufas
of different
the diameter of the circle. You saw which tekufa was in this place.
But it's very likely that a lot of the old kvarim have disappeared. This is so many years of Churban,
they
new things.
Because every time they excavate a building,
what's it called? The Astra Kadisha? What do they call it?
The Astra Kadisha. The Israeli has a law when you do a road construction or whatever, you have to have an inspector there from the archaeological Israeli Archaeological Association. And if they see something, they have a certain period of time to clean it up. They find all the time.
Bones is a very big problem.
Bones have gone.
But the
Mamish what the pasuk says,
but this organization called the Asher Kadisha, they're impossible. Anytime they want to do construction, they're always there and telling you you can't do construction because it's an ancient cemetery. Everywhere. Wherever you go in Eretz Yisrael. Alright, let's see. So here in Echanam, okay, so this is an interesting, this itself is a very worthwhile point to take into account, that you have throughout Tanakh, you have throughout all different events when the prophets predict events will happen, and we don't have an actual record that they did happen. The Radak is telling us, have faith. Have faith. If the Navi says it's going to happen, it happened, or it will happen. Just because we don't have a record that it happened does not mean anything. Pasuk Beis Asher Ahivum v'Asher v'Eis Asher Avodum v'Chein Omar Al Yehoyakim Kishgisnabe Olav Onsho. It says concerning Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Lo Yeh Lo Yoshev Al Kisei David v'Nivlosotia Mushleches Lachayrev Bayom Ulekerach Baloyla. The body of Yehoyakim, Nebuchadnezzar, he took Yehoyakim with him down to Bavel. He died on the way. And what did Nebuchadnezzar do with his body? They shoved it off the animal, dead weight. They just threw it off the animal and let the body lie there in the sun to be exposed to the sun by day and to the kerach, to the ice at night. I think what he's saying over here, that it was fulfilled. The first Radak says it was not, we don't find it recorded. We at least do find it recorded in reference to one of the kings, Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was the first one to go into exile, and he was replaced by Yehoyachin, who only remained in power for 3 months until he was exiled with the Choresh v'Hamasker, and he was replaced by Tzidkiyahu, who remained there for 11 years. So the first one to go into exile was Yehoyakim, and when he went into exile, he obviously put up a fight, and he died on the way, and as they were traveling in the desert to go down to Bavel, they decided, why even bother taking his body to Bavel to bury it? Will just throw it on the side of the road. They did not even give respect to the king of the Jewish people to bury his body. It's a very good, it goes to show the lowliness of the nation of the Kastim. They kill the king and they just throw the body on the street. Later on, Paragidali, Rabbi Samus Khul of Rach Amru, Ba'avoin Chayim, Mesim Nechtotim. Due to the sin of people who are living, the dead bodies are Nechtotim, which means they're exhumed, or they are disgraced. This refers to Hashem will be against you and against your forefathers. When children sin, they cause that the bodies, the bones of their forefathers should be disgraced by causing their bones to come out of the ground. The next pasuk says, "V'nivchar moves mechayim kolaymar lamahoy nivchar moves mechayim." Why would they choose death over life? Im himesim nechtatim v'im hayo oynesh amesim hoylem kapara. So here's what I told you this. This I really the medrash I quoted you before. That's why it means v'nivchar moves moves. In other words, the question over here is the way he's learning over here is very simply is that if the living people observe that even the dead, their bodies are disgraced, why would a person want to die? Even though life is miserable, the Radak seems to be saying that even the most miserable life, if you see that your body is going to be disgraced, it's going to lie in the street and it's going to be garbage in the street after death, that would be enough of a reason for a person to want to live and suffer. That's what he seems to be saying. If a person knows he's going to die, and he's going to be buried in a beautiful cemetery, and he'll be at peace, he'll rest in peace, then okay, then it's kedai maybe to die and not live and suffer. But if death is disgusting, and the body lies around in the street, and no one cares about it, you know what, I'll take my chances. I will live and suffer, maybe at least I will somehow achieve a means of having a peaceful death.
So, yeah. He went through, he was in Plesha, which was the Schindler's camp, which was very big. He was 16, 17. And he and his brothers said to each other, who knows when we die, no one knows we die, no one will say Kaddish with us.
So it's Kedai to live and suffer in order that...
15 years ago, he was 84, his older brother died in Eretz Yisrael. He came back from the Levaya, he was floating on the air. And they said, why are you floating? He says, I saw my brother with a beard lying in Tachrichim in a palace. I saw 40 children, grandchildren saying Kaddish. I reminded myself
okay,
when I
very
was
good.
19.
So it's mamish what it says here in this pasuk. Exactly what it's over here. That's part of the question. Why would a person choose to die over live? It's Kedai to live and suffer. Better than die, because dying, look what it means to die. Look at the people that are lying in the street, garbage. So it's a kasha. The answer is, the people still chose to die and suffer in death because they recognized it would at least be a kapara for their neshamas. That's what the Radak is saying. If this is the punishment of life, I'm sorry, I skipped, I made a mistake over here. Let's go back. They give you gam as a pasuk. Lo yosav lo yikaveru b'yikshu alav a pasuk haba. Achrav. V'nivchar maves mechayim. Kolayma. Lama hoyu nivchar maves mechayim. Im hamesim nichtatim. Why would a person want to die if the dead are going to be disgraced, desecrated? V'im hoyu oynish hamesim. Hoyu lohem kapara. V'zev v'nivchar maves. That's why they chose death, because at least death will be kapara. Ela im hu oynesh hachayim. I'm not sure what this means. Let's just run the word. V'avoyin hachayim meisim nechvatim lomo oma v'nivchar moves mechayim u'perush nivchar moves. I think there's some mistake in the words here. Repetition. Shelo yichyu ba'olam hazev yechetu v'yiplu b'gehen. Okay, I don't know. Let's go further. I don't know what that means. L'doymen means l'zevel yihyu. K'loy mar ki liyalim hiu al p'nei ha'adama ki lo yikaver, they're going to be just garbage. U'roiv amidasam al p'nei ha'adama yirkavu v'yashuvu ofer v'zevel. After the body is exposed for a long period of time, it turns into zevel fertilizer. It rots. What?
I think I know what they're talking about.
Okay.
He says, this thing that they were nechtatim, what was it before? Was it an onish for the mesim?
Yeah.
Or was it an onish for the chayim?
So yeah.
If it was an onish for the mesim, then you can understand why somebody would choose, because he would get kapara. But if it's an onish for the chayim, why would you choose that?
So it must then be that it was a kapara. That's why they would choose it, right?
Right.
Right. So therefore, that's the deeper meaning. V'nifcham, they chose death because at least they would have kapara. There's a silver lining in this curse. Okay, next radak the word v'nifchar. V'nifchar hamesim yihya onsham masha amar shiyu nichtatim mikivrehem. They will be removed from their grave. V'hachayim. This refers to the survivors. Shlo yihargu v'yigalu yivcharu bigolusam moves michayim. Why? Ki yihu biyad goy naval avodim la'am achzari, because they're going to be slaves to a cruel nation. Shlo yirachmu alayhem, which will show them no compassion. V'toiv mosam michayim, better dead than alive. Pasuk gimel. B'chol ha'makom es hanisharim b'chol makom. You have to take the words and reverse the translation, as if it would say in the pasuk Hanisharim, the survivors in all of the locations where they have been dispersed, same thing. After she put in her eyes the makeup, the eye makeup. V'chol ha'aretz bor mitzrayim lishbar es Yosef. It doesn't mean v'chol ha'aretz. It means v'chol everyone came. V'chol ha'aretz bor mitzrayim lishbar el Yosef. Bohu mitzrayim. You have to reverse the words of the pasuk. Bohu mitzrayim el Yosef lishbar. Li yizaku elokai. Yidda anucha Yisrael, also reverse the words Li Yiz Aku Yisrael. Take the word Yisrael Elokai Yidanucha. Period. The Hadoyim Lohem Shekasavnu B'Sefer Michlal B'Chelik HaDikduk. The Radak wrote a sefer called Michlal. That was the name of the sefer, and there in the section, the chapter called Dikduk, he explains that more often than very often, when we have a pasuk in Tanakh, it's not like reading the New York Times. Everything is sequential. In Lashon Kodesh, you take a pasuk, you look at all the words, and when you translate it, you have to pick and choose, pick the right words in order to make sense out of the pasuk. That is the richness of Lashon Kodesh. You don't translate the words necessarily in order. Okay, now let's go to the next. Let's go now to the next section of pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, Hashem says, V'amarta alehem, Yirmiyah, you shall say to the Jewish people, Koi amar Hashem, Hayiplu v'lo yakumu, Im yashuv v'lo yashuv. Hashem here is giving the Klal Yisrael another chance to do tshuva. Just because you have fallen down, does that mean v'lo yakumu? You don't have the opportunity, the option of standing back up again. Of course you do. Why do you always think that there is no hope? There's always hope. Im yashuv, if you will do tshuva, the lo yashuv, do you not think Hashem will return? Hashem will take back His anger? It's a rhetorical statement. Of course He will. Why are you live with a defeatist attitude? There's always hope. Pasuk Hey, Madua, why? Shoiviva ha'om hazeh. Shoiviva means backsliding. People who are going backwards. Why is this nation that is going, this nation that lives in Yerushalayim, who are always in a state of going backwards, mishuva nitzachas, in a state of eternal backwardness? You're living. You live with an attitude that you're doomed. It's like nitzach. It's netzach. That forever there's no option but to go backwards and to distance yourself from Hashem. Hecheziku b'tarmis. You grab hold of deceit. Me'anu lo shuv. You refuse to do tshuva. Why do you live in such and with such a horrible attitude? Okay, let us see the two psukim in the Mefarshim. First, with the Mitzudas David, pasuk Dalid, Hayiplu. So the pasuk reads, V'chi ba'avoinam, Yiplu v'lo yuchlu lakum. Do you think that due to your sins you fall down and you are unable to stand up? Ritzon Elohim, V'chi ein teshuva mo'eletz l'shiyakumu minifilasam. Is there no hope of doing tshuva? Your tshuva will enable you to stand up from your state of having fallen. Im yashuv v'chi im mi mehem yashuv b'tshuva. If one of you does tshuva, ho im lo yashuv Hashem mecharon apo bitmiya. Is it not true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back His anger? And here he writes over here, derech hamikra kesh'omer shnei tmihos ze achar ze. Whenever you have two questions that follow one another, it is a style of writing. The first question is expressed, nemar b'rishayna, the word the hey hatamiya that begins the word uvishniya, and the second question is followed with the word im. There are two different ways you can express a question in Hebrew language, either with a hey hatamiya or with the word im. And here the Mitzudas is telling us a rule of grammar. Whenever you have a double question, the first question will always begin with the hey hatamiya, and the second question will begin with the word im. V'chein, and he cites another pasuk later on, V'chein ha ma'os ma'asta es Yehuda. The first question begins with the hey ha'idia, have you detested Yehuda? And the second question begins with the word im. Im b'tzion go'alo nafshecha, have you detested? Has your neshama detested? So here as well in this pasuk Dalid, the first pasuk begins. The first is ha yiplu v'lo yakumu. If you fall down, is it still not possible to stand up? The second question is im. Im Yashuv, Velo Yashuv will Hashem not take back his anger? This is the style of writing. Next pasuk in the Mitzudos, Madua, Lama, Morda, Ha'om, Hazem, Merida, Mas, Nedes. Why do these people rebel, a continuous rebellion ad Ha'olam forever? Ha'am hazeyu, ha'am hazeyu shalayim, chosar hanismach. We're missing a word, another style of writing. There is one word that's missing in this passage, the word im. The people, this people that lives, the people, ha'am hazeh, im Yerushalayim. Who with Yerushalayim, ha'am hazeh, im Yerushalayim, which means with the city of Yerushalayim, the Rabbim Kamo, there are many psukim which are missing words. Next words, Hechziku, Oichazim Be'orma Umimanim Lashuv, they take hold of the seed and they refuse to do tshuva. Ki ilu ein teshuva moel, as if tshuva does not help. Rashi, Pasik Dalit, Hayiplu Velo Yakumu. Is it to your benefit that you should fall down to a degree where you could no longer stand? So it would appear that Rashi, what?
That
they will throw themselves down to a degree of defeat. They can't get up. So it would appear that Rashi is learning not like the Mitzudos. He's saying up here, why do you want to go on this path? Why do you want to put yourself in a state where you will no longer be able to stand up? If you continue in this path, you're going to reach a level where you'll be beyond repair. Im yashuv v'lo lo yashuv, l'chashayirtzu l'shuv meiru oscham, lo yashuv HaKadosh Baruch Hu migzeiraso. So here. And now it seems it's a statement. If I'm not mistaken, the way Rashi learned that these psukim are statements. Why are you continuing to go down this path? This path will lead you to a situation where indeed you will be beyond the point of return. So, Hayipolu v'lo yukumu, do you really want to fall down to the degree where you will no longer be able to stand up? Im yashuv, do you want to go and back away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point v'lo yashuv, where Hashem will no longer be willing to return to you? Again, that's not like Rashi, on the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos learned that this pasuk over here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is begging Klal Yisrael, you still have an opportunity, no matter how far, how low you have fallen, there is still hope that you can stand up, there is still hope that you can do tshuva. Very different approach to the pshat and the pasuk. Dover acher, now Rashi learns the pshat like the Mitzudos. Af im yashuvu b'tshuva, So here, this the end of the pasuk means Hashem over here is saying that it's saying the third interpretation that the type of tshuva that you do is insincere. You do a little tshuva today, but it's not sincere. And the proof that it's not sincere is you go back to your old way. So ha yiplu. Hayiplu. No, that's the same. Im Yashuv v'lo yad. So Rashi here is only coming to explain the second part of the pasuk. Im Yashuv. If it happens at times where the Jewish people do tshuva, they do tshuva, Hashem says v'lo yashuv. It's not a sincere tshuva because they very quickly go back to their old ways. According to this interpretation of Rashi, when it says the word yashuv, it does not mean to go backwards, to distance yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just the opposite. The word yashuv over here means to do tshuva, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing Klai, so that even when you do tshuva, it's insincere because v'lo yashuv, you don't go all the way, you go back to your old ways. And that's me, the target of Chaim Yonason im limsov, if you do tshuva, you repent, gilei kadomai delo yisuvun, it is revealed before me that your repentance is insincere and you will not return to Hashem entirely. Next, mishuva nitzachas, you are on a path of a permanent distancing from Hashem. Meshuvas oilam. The word nitzachas means forever. Kimo netzach. You have a defeatist attitude that you will never be able to return. Next Rashi. Hechaziku ochazu betarmis bemirma. You have taken hold of the seat. Let's see the radak. Pasuk these two psukim. Pasuk tongue. Pasuk dalid. Viamarta. Hayiplu velo yakumu. Here we go into some grammar. Tamo davok in pasuk habo acharof. This pasuk cannot be read alone. This pasuk dalid must be read together with pasuk hey, because pasuk hey explains the meaning of pasuk dalid kolaymar, and that's how we've explained it. Shoyviva kolaymar. Why have you been in a state of shoyviva, of distancing yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'chinaflu bo'inish ma'aseyem, have you fallen to a state where shelo kamu achar kein, where you can't do tshuva? Kolaymar, kama pa'amim naflu bo'inish ma'aseyem, v'achar kach b'shuvam kamu. In history, look back in your own history, many times you have stumbled, you have fallen into a very difficult situation, but you've succeeded in pulling yourself out of it. V'chi sevur mehem she'im yashuvu heim lemutov v'lo yashuv akel mecharoi napo alehem. Do you really think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be willing to accept your repentance? Hayashuv pam ad ato. Was there not another time until this point in history? Shenaflu v'loy kamu achar kein. Oh, im yashuv yisro mi masov haroim v'lo yashuv akel mecharon apo. Ze lo haya. Did it ever happen in history where Klal Yisrael did a sincere repentance and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not accept it? Never. Im kein madua shoyviva. So why then do you continue to go backwards? Do tshuva. V'yonasim tirgim hayiplun v'lo yikumun v'goymer kibamun. Like we explain. Okay, so yeah, he explains it similar to what we said before. Pasuk hey, madua shoyviva bo heina am l'shoyin dikeva. Here the word am. The word am l'shoyin nikeva. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Kirutzoni alach achna al.
Yeah.
Modified
by a
feminine form. Kirutzoni al hachnasa k'moy shepirashnu v'chein chatos amecha. Chatos is feminine. Amecha. Is the nation of Amasha Bikirba feminine, Yesheves Levetach. Shoiva inyin nered. It means to rebel. V'chinbonim shoivavim. Meshuva Yisro. We had these psukim many times in the beginning of the Sefer Yirmiyah. Ha'am hazeh Yerushalayim, chosar hanisma, ha'am ze'im Yerushalayim. Exactly what the Mitzudo said.
So, Baal Tshuva is someone who does Tshuva. And Baal
Shuvava, person who rebels. Well, sometimes even shuvah, it all depends on the context. The word shuvah means to go backwards. It all depends where you're standing. If you're close to Hashem and you're being shuv, it means you are rebelling. If you are at a distance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you are shuv, it means you're returning. Choyzer, that's why the correct expression for Baal Tshuvah is not a Baal Tshuvah, it's Choyzer B'Shuvah. You are returning. Choyzer modifies Shuvah, it means you're going in the right direction. You're going backwards, you're returning to where you originally came from. If you just say a person is a Baal Tshuvah, technically that can mean he's a rebel. He's a rebel. He's a Baal Teshuvah. He's a person who's returning, who's distancing himself. He's going backwards. But when you choyzer b'shuvah, it's clear you are returning to where you came from originally. Klal Yisrael are tzadikim, amech kulam tzadikim. You're returning. Yeah.
Sometimes the description that should be masculine, feminine, because it's in a state of weakness.
Alright, that's interesting. Ha'om ha'zeh you. Okay, v'chamo ra'am v'chamo sheperashnu b'chelek ha'diktuk m'sefer michlal. Okay, next, b'shuva nitzachas patach be'esnach. It's underneath the esnachta. You see, underneath the tzadi, there is an esnachta, one of the ta'anim, and there is a patach. It should not be nitzochas, but nitzachas. And that is unusual, because whenever you have an esnachta, that's the end of a sentence, end of a statement, and that usually demands you have a komatz, not a patach. So that's why the Radak is making this point. There is a patach, be'esnach, underneath the esnachta. Doesn't matter. It means forever min netzach. Meshuva Shem, Meshuva is a noun. Meshuva Yisrael, as we had before, the rebellious, it's really an adjective. It's really a shame over here means it's an adjective. It's a definition of their state. A definition of the state of the Jewish people. They are in a state of rebelliousness. Toyar, it's a description. Hechaziku b'tarmis mimenu mo'anu loshu. They've taken hold of deceit. They have refused to do tshuva. Yidne ki li'olam yirtzu l'hachzik bo b'tarmis. K'may mirim, it appears they continuously want to be rebellious, to remain in their deceit. K'mo mirma. Okay, so that, yeah.
I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw the tarmis as a reference
to what?
To Christianity.
To Christianity?
The tarmis, that the falseness or the deceit.
Okay, interesting.
I can't remember where I saw it, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay, interesting. Let's do just one more pasuk. Pasuk, we really have many pasuk that go together, but we only have time for one pasuk. Hikshafta vo'eshma. I have listened. Who is the speaker? So from the Radak it's Mashma, the speaker is Yirmiyah. If not for the Radak, I would have thought that the speaker is Hashem is speaking. But Yirmiyah is speaking, and he's saying, Hikshafti, I have listened very carefully to the people. Vo'eshmo, and I always hear them saying the same thing. Lo chein yidaberu. Now this can mean, it's interesting how it's translated. You can translate this in many ways, but I think the simile, what it means here, at least in one interpretation, is everything that I am telling you, you respond, you're wrong. Yirmiyah, according to the Mitzudos, is telling Klal Yisrael, do teshuvah. There is still hope. Even though you've sunk to such a low state, it's not too late. If you'll do tshuva, Hashem will remove His anger. How do the Jewish people respond to this request? You're dead wrong, Yirmiyah. Lo chein yidaberu. They here refers to all of the prophets, including you, Yirmiyah. It's a lie. It's not going to make one bit of a difference. Even if we do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not accept our repentance. This is what Yirmiyah says. I listen very carefully to your response, and I always hear the people telling me the same thing. Lo chein yidaberu. The advice that the prophets are giving us is wrong. Furthermore, Yirmiyah says, Ein ish nicham al ro'oso. Lamar, there is no man in this entire nation that has regret for his evil to say, Me'osisi, what am I doing? I'm out of my mind, I'm insane. Kulo shav, every single member of this nation, they are shav. Shav here is the negative type of tshuva. They are rebellious, they are distancing themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we have a new analogy. Bim rutzasam, in their state of running to do averos, they behave like a horse, kisus, shaitef, that goes out in a state of haste, bamilchama, in battle. Now that this, the pasuk is telling us a mitzias, that a horse has a weakness. When a horse gets into a frenzy, when a horseman, he whips the horse, and and the horse builds up momentum, and the horse begins to enter the battlefield in a state of haste. It's galloping, it's running very quickly. It reaches a point that's beyond return. Even though the horse in its mind may come to the realization that, what am I doing? I see in front of me a battlefield where I see there's no chance. I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. So who's stopping the horse? So the horse, if it had seichel, it would just stop, turn around, and run away. But this is a mitzias. When a horse enters into a frenzy of going out into a battlefield, the horse can no longer control itself. It becomes suicidal. It becomes suicidal and goes out, and it does not turn itself back. The Navi Yirmiyah is saying this is exactly the nature of Klal Yisrael. They're like horses. They get caught up in a frenzy. They get caught up in an addiction. There's an addiction to do averos. They recognize that as they're doing it, I'm going down a path that's going to lead to my end, to my chur, my destruction. All I got to do is just pull the plug. So all I got to do is just stop. But unfortunately, you go talk to any psychologist, you don't have to go very far, This is the nature of addiction. You get caught up in something to such a degree and you're 100% certain it's going to lead to your destruction. You just can't break out of it. You're a prisoner in your own mind. You're like, oh, and the marshal that Yirmiyah gives to express this idea that the average person can relate to is a horse that's galloping into a battlefield that is that knows what's going to happen, but it cannot control its actions to go back. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Stavit, Pasik Vav. Hikshafti. Yirmiyah says, Ani makshiv v'shemeya asher lo yidabru kain. Loimar, that, now he could be, Mitzvah is translating the Pasik a little bit different than I told you, but let's just see how he says it. I hear the people saying these three words. I've told you, do tshuva. What are you waiting for? Do tshuva. And I hear everyone respond to me three words. Lo yidabru kein. What do these three words mean? Loimar shemimanim lo shuv. They refuse to do tshuva. Ba'avur ki choshvim, because they think she'ein teshuva mo'elas. It's not going to help. What do you mean it's not going to help? I told you one pasuk ago before it will help. The response to my advice is, you don't know what you're talking about. You're living in another world. Avol gam einish mehem mischaret al harosh asa. Not only do they tell me it's not going to make a difference, they don't even have charata. Forget about the fact that tshuva is not going to make a difference. At least have regret when you've done. No, loymar meosisi haloy pogamti binafshi. I have damaged my neshama through these averos. Kuloshav, all of them are distancing themselves from Hashem. Not only do people not have regrets, they continue to run in their haste like before. Nothing has changed. Like in the past, they pursued evil. And here we come to the mashal, like a horse. Like a flowing stream. Is there anything going to hold back the stream from flowing? Absolutely nothing. The af ki hu benafsho ki heim roidfim achar horoos im ki ma'abdim nafshom bezeh, even though it's suicidal. A horse that runs into battle is in a state of suicide. So too, this is what people are in state their minds are in. Rashi pasikhein lochein loy bedin. It's incorrect. Kumo kein bino sofro. Kein means it's not correct. Lo chein yidaberu. You do not speak correctly. Kein b'no slavchad. B'no slavchad, they spoke correctly. Here the people say to Yirmiyah, lo kein, you're speaking correctly. Kula shah b'mutsasam, b'derech harishon, choytim, b'choytim, b'choytim, b'mutsasam. They have a French word, you know what that French word means?
Yeah, the word is coarse.
Okay. On a derech.
On a derech,
okay. Shaitef means to flow. What does that mean? Okay, let's do the Radak. We'll finish with this pasuk. Hikshafti, Maimer Hanavi. The Radak just clarifies
fighting. Some sort of
okay.
Something
okay, the Radak just clarifies that the speaker of this pasuk is Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says, "I listen. I'm a good listener." Yirmiyah was a good listener, even though Navi is a speaker. Nivsif Asayim, Yirmiyah here is revealing to us that he was a good listener. Hikshafti, Maimer Hanavi, Shani Cholich Bineyem, Ani Makshiv Mazin Lohem. I listen to what the people have to say. He im Echad Midaber Toiv Vim Lo. Kain, Tov Kosher, Kain means correct. Kmo Kain Binos Lofcha Dovros. So again, the meaning of the other pasuk is that the people respond to Yirmiyah and they say to Yirmiyah, "Lo kein yidaberu Yirmiyah, you don't know what you're talking about. You are dead wrong. Tshuva will not make any difference." Einish nicham nifal oimet ki hu komutz. Here, the distinction between the word is nicham. It's a komatz. Einish nicham. There is no one that has regret. Gamilas ein moira olav. Prove. Okay, whatever that means. Kula shah bimrutsa sam chasav chasav bimrutsa sam l'shoin rabbas b'loshin rabim. Of derech klal, v'akui derech prat, it's a kui v'chsef. The way we read it, bim ru tsa sam, B'loshon Yochid, it's spelled B'loshon Yochid, but it's pronounced B'loshon Rabin. Derech Prat, Derech Holch, Kulam Holchim V'Shav Bim Mutsasim La'asos Kisus Shoytev B'mochama U'l'roif HaMerutza Oymer Shoytev, Shoytev means in a torrent. Shu Kumo Nachal Shoytev B'merutzasa B'mochama Yonis Antigam V'kshavti Ma'amar HaKel Yitzbach Atzesi U'Gulei Kodomai. The Targum says that the speaker here is not Yirmiyah, but is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that takes away our Jewish, that a Navi has to be a good listener. Maybe a Navi does not need to be a good listener. A Navi's role is just to be a good speaker. You don't have to hear what other people have to say. Okay, that's the end of this pasuk. So this is the mashal. We'll stop over here.